Welcome once again, dear one, and we are going to continue with our youth study. Welcome to all the dear brethren that are just coming in. I came in, I was not able to see. I'm going to put the reading also in the room for the dear loved ones that may not be able to see the screen. So have a blessing, dear one. Someone would like to see? I'm going to place the reading in the room. Just give me a few seconds, dear ones. Bear with me. We are still in chapter 23, entitled The Lord's Vineyard. But we are in the section of the church nations. The last time that we had left, we were speaking concerning how the rejection of Christ was the result that followed. They were responsible. Who was responsible? A nation's sin and a nation's ruin were due to the religious leaders. And we are going to pick up just right on this paragraph. If any one of the dear loved ones would like to take the first paragraph in our study, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Teacher Roshi, if we may, to have open in prayer for this section of this section of the first studies.
Sure, dear sister. I apologize. If anyone of the dear loved one or dear sister, would you like to be able to begin with us a prayer?
Absolutely, by God's grace. If we could all bow our hands on our knees and come humbly before our Godhead. Righteous and Heavenly Father, as we come before you once more to give you all honor and praises, Lord Jesus, thank you for waking us up for this morning. Thank you for taking us safely through another week. Thank you for your loving mercies and tender kindness towards us, dear Father. Thank you for answered prayers. Thank you for traveling mercies. Thank you for food. Thank you for shelter. Thank you for just being a God that is so gracious and merciful to us, dear Father, even when we are not deserving. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you may please forgive us for all of our sins and our iniquities and our shortcomings, anything that we have done in this body, known or unknown. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you continue to put your healing hands upon each and everyone who is sick and afflicted. Anyone that is going through any type of maladies, dear Father God, you know exactly what the malady is, just the pain, the grief, whatever it is, dear Father. And you have a balm for every single woe. Heavenly Father, we give ourselves to you, dear Father, for you to lead us and guide us. I pray that we, at this time, on this Sabbath day, that if we are boggled by anything that burdens our spirit, burdens our minds, burdens our hearts, that we know that you are our burden bearer, that you are a savior, that you are a redeemer, and that there's nothing that is impossible to you. We lay all our plans at your feet, dear Father, because our plans can never amount to what you have for our lives. Help us to be able to be patient in this journey, dear Father, to know that you always have our best interests at hand. Comfort us when we do not understand, dear Heavenly Father, why things are going one way or the other. And help us not to be able to be in doubt. Help us not to give the enemy any room to come in, dear Father God, into our hearts, into our minds, into our beings. Help our temples, dear Father, to be prepared day by day, dear Father, that you may be able to come in and inhabit it, dear Father. And forgive us for when we have fallen short, dear Father. We cannot thank you enough for your mercies, for your love. We cannot thank you enough for taking us day by day through another Sabbath, dear Father. May you continue to lift us up on high, dear Father. May we have a glorious day in your name. May we maybe be victorious, dear Father. And I pray, dear Father, speaking for myself first, that you comfort my heart, that you give me a peace, not the peace that the world give it, but only that you can give it. But not just for me, but for us all, dear Heavenly Father. And may we rest in your love. And may nothing that I have done in my life hinder this prayer up to you, dear Father. Please go before us, open up our hearts and our ears and our understandings, that these heavenly words that we will partake of will lift us, dear Father, may be planted in our goodly heart soils, dear Father. May we investigate them. May we not be found wanting in any way, dear Father God, I pray. We surrender our lives to thee this blessed Sabbath day, dear Father God. And help us to have that spirit to hold on to thee with every fiber of our being. We thank you and we love you, dear Father. In all the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. Once more, welcome to all the dear brethren that are coming in. We are going to begin on the paragraph that reads, in our day, are not the same influence at work. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? Can you unmute your mic?
In our day, are not the same influences at work? Of the husbandmen of the Lord's vineyard, are not many following in the same steps, in the steps of the Jewish leaders? Are not religious teachers turning men away from the plain requirements of the Word of God? Instead of educating them in obedience to God's law, are they not educating them in transgression? From many of the pulpits of the churches, the people are taught that the law of God is not binding upon them. Human traditions, ordinances, and customs are exalted. Pride and self-satisfaction because of the gifts of God are fostered, while the claims of God are ignored.
In setting aside
I'm sorry, dear sister, were you about to read? I'm not sure. The Zoom is kind of a little bit updated, so I'm kind of a little bit lost.
I'm sorry. Yes, I did start to read, and then for some reason my mic was closed. Okay, I'll try that again. In setting aside the law of God, men know not what they are doing. God's law is a transcript of his character. It embodies the principles of his kingdom. He who refuses to accept the principles is placing himself outside of the channels where God's blessings flow.
Does anyone would like to be able to share from the two paragraphs that we just read? May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones?
I just wanted to just go back again and how the Lord is impressing right here, in setting aside the law of God, men knew not what they were doing. That very line takes us back to the children's stories, because we see that the same thing was happening again. In setting, the scribes, the Pharisees and the rulers set aside the law of God, and they knew not what they were doing. And as a result, they were suffering that catapulted, that they chose a sinner, and instead of choosing God, they were learned men, but they were blinded. And the same thing is repeating again. It just amazes me that it, how it confirms it. Like, here a little, there a little. That's what I wanted to share as we were in that section of the story.
Who would like to take the next paragraph, dear ones?
I'll continue to read it. The glorious possibility set before Israel could be realized only through obedience to God's commandments. The same elevation of character, the same fullness of blessing, blessing on mind and soul and body, blessing on house and field, blessing for this life and for the life to come, it's possible for us only through obedience. Amen.
Amen. Dear Brother Joel, I believe your mic is open. Would you like to share? Okay. Who would like to take the next paragraph, dear ones?
In the spiritual, as in the natural world, obedience to the laws of God is the condition for fruit bearing. And when men teach the people to disregard God's commandments, they are preventing them from bearing fruit to His glory. They are guilty of withholding from the Lord the fruit of His vineyard. I heard one preacher make the comment, it doesn't matter what day you keep, just so you keep 1 and 7. He was teaching men to disregard God's commandments.
Going based on the reading, we know that they are exchanging the law of God for what it is that it teaches. The tradition, ordinance, and custom are exalted, and the law of God is being ignored. And it's the same thing that's happening today. A lot of the things that happens in the churches, they are not teaching from the law of God. They're teaching from whatever is the church creed and what pleases the church's goers, but they're leaving the word of God behind. And when we leave the word of God behind, it's kind of hard for them to be able to know exactly what the law requires. And who would like to take the following paragraph, dear ones?
To us, God's messengers come at the bidding of the Master. They come demanding, as did Christ, obedience to the word of God. They present His claim to the fruits of the vineyard, the fruits of love and humility and self-sacrificing service. Like the Jewish leaders, are not many of the husbandmen of the vineyard stirred to anger? When the claim of God's law is set before the people, do not these teachers use their influence in leading men to reject it? Such teachers God calls unfaithful servants.
Wow.
The words of God to ancient Israel have a solemn warning to the church and its leaders today. Of Israel, the Lord said, I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. Hosea chapter 8 verse 12. And to the priests and teachers he declared, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6.
Shall the warnings from God be passed by indeed? Shall the opportunities for service be unimproved? Shall the words scorn the pride of season, conformity to human customs and traditions, hold the professed followers of Christ from service to him? Will they reject God's word as the Jewish leaders rejected Christ? The result of Israel's sin is before us. Will the church of today take the warning?
Is it okay to share something?
Sure, dear brother.
It's just impressed on me of what we were just reading in these last couple of paragraphs that we truly are in that time where we must, each one of us and with our families and with what it is we say we believe in, be very mindful and careful not to put aside, even in the smallest way, God's, his law, his precepts, his directions that he is giving us, especially during these troublesome times that right now, it's impressed upon me that we really have to draw even more closer and more tightly to the Lord, and really with a pleading heart, ask and plead for the Holy Spirit to enter into our hearts and give us the strength and the wisdom and understanding to withstand all of the various wiles of the devil. And especially also for the dear parents that are here with little ones, I know that they have much more to truly be looking out for. Yet I also see that we also, though we are older, are God's little ones. And we have much need to look out for. I have noticed, and I believe those who, you know, we are all paying attention. That's by God's grace, of what is unfolding and what has been unfolding for quite some time now. And we need to really be on guard. I see that these last couple of paragraphs especially, they are very poignant because they are very direct in giving such a warning that it can be very easy if we are not careful to fall for the wiles and the temptations and the devices of the adversary, to in one way or another neglect the precepts and teachings of our Lord, and to set aside one aspect or another of his holy law. And the adversary can make it seem like it is just a small thing. It's nothing really big. I mean, look around you. Everyone else is basically doing it, and they're but keepers and they're Bible believers and they're fine. Look at their lives. It's wonderful. I believe that we have to be mindful of those things. That's what is impressed upon me to be mindful of, because we could wind up in that category of those whom the Lord would rather forget because we choose to put aside his holy law and his precepts and teachings and the love for our brothers and sisters, the love for the lost, and the love for our neighbors, etc., etc. For I do remember in the prayers that were offered up even today for those who are sick, for those who are homeless, for those who are poor, for those, and there are more, for those who are going through severe trauma, for those who have no support whatsoever and don't even know where God is because they have not received the truth of the gospel. There is so much to pray for. And we know that we don't want to be neglectful of that. And I think it falls into these things too, of forgetting God and his law. Or I don't think I'm wrong in saying that God's law is also God's love too for us. We love him when we keep his commandments. And commandments are very clear that were put in two different precepts or two different standards. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy strength, all thy soul, all thy might, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. Oh, though many of the fallen away apostate churches like to say that those are commandments now and everything else is nailed to the tree, those are just two summaries of the whole of the first four and the last six. And I know that by God's grace, he gives us strength to do that. And it's just important, I believe, that with all that is unfolding, especially now, it's a very precarious time that we're living in. Prayer is needful for everyone, for each other, to pray for each other, love one another with a deep and abiding love, and above all, love to God and our Lord Jesus Christ. We press on like that. The words in the last couple of paragraphs will not apply to us. If we do not, we will find ourselves neglectful, forgetting the love of God, forgetting the love of our fellow man, forgetting to keep his holy law, because we cannot keep it if we do not love one another, and we cannot keep it if we do not love our neighbors as ourselves. Oh, we will be very forgetful. How then will the Lord be able to bless us and we be in the way of blessing and not in the way of the wayward? It is just something that came on my heart.
Thank you for sharing, dear brother. I would like to take the next paragraph, dear one. It's the last paragraph of our chapter 23.
If some of the branches be broken off, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear, for if God spare not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee, Romans 11:17-21. That's talking about us today. The branches that were broke off were the Jews who rejected him. And we, the Christians, can be broken off too if we don't pay attention to what's going on and obey God's word.
Amen. I was also thinking with the reading. Sometimes I forget I have to change the or scroll up because I'm so into the reading. In the Jewish nation, if you remember how they used to put the Ten Commandments like everywhere, they had to put it in the doorposts. Like if you also go to different Jewish area, every time when they come in the house, they have to touch it. And they had it so, like, constantly before them. And it's a scary thing that they had it. But yet, they were so disconnected. And today, people don't know about the commandments because they have been told that it was do away with and you actually hanging on the tree. But we are so grateful that the power of God through the Holy Spirit is going to place those same law in our hearts. And it is so amazing that no matter what it is that is going on in different eras with God's people, He always increases for the sake of saving our soul. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. For we don't even have an idea what the Lord has done and will be doing for us, especially in these last days. And we are going to go into a new chapter. And I'm gonna also place it in the room. Just give me a few. We are going to begin chapter 24. It's entitled Without a Wedding Garment. And who would like to take the first paragraph here, one?
Sees under the seven, right, the robes.
Okay, we are right here. Yeah.
Okay. The parable of the wedding garment opens before us a lesson of the highest consequence. That marriage is representing the union of humanity with divinity. The wedding garment represents the character which all of us possess, who shall be accounted fit guests for the wedding. Can I take the other one?
Sure, Dad.
In this parable of the death of the great supper, or illustrated the gospel invitation, its rejection by the Jewish people, and the call of mercy to the Gentiles. But on the part of those who reject the invitation, this parable brings a deeper insult and a more dreadful punishment. The call to the feast is a king's invitation. It proceeds from one who is vested with power to command. It confers high honor, yet the honor is unappreciated. The king's authority is despised, while the householder's invitation was regarded with indifference. The king's is met with insult and murder. They treated his servants with scorn, despite the using them and slaying them. Amen.
Anyone would like to be able to share for the first two paragraphs that we just went through?
Up to the present day, most of us that say we believe, yet when the moment comes to present ourselves to the calling of the Lord, we are absent. Not only absent, we find no interest in looking towards this holy summon, which means we have to check ourselves, like look in the mirror and wondering,
Am I really a believer? Do I really believe? Do I really want to believe in the Lord and His Word? Do I care much to look into the depth of myself to find where I stand? This is very important now in these last days. And I think this is a message that's being sent here and being given, that we have an urgency to look into our heart and try to find if we have the Lord there. It's very important. It's very important for our salvation. If we do not take heed, we will be lost. And the Lord does not want to lose anyone. So we must take care and have a moment to see what's deep within our soul, what's in our mind. What do we profess? What are we following? Whose footstep are we following? All of these questions are necessary to keep us focused to our calling.
If I may also be able to humbly add to my dear brother's words, it also speaks in that paragraph concerning what are we wearing for this great invitation by the King. There is a requirement. Our dear brother was giving wonderful examples of those requirements, the self-examination, the being able to put everything before the Lord and not put our own self before the Lord, to come and present ourselves at the wedding. There is a garment we have to put on, and it's not one that the world will ever be able to make, for it is Christ's righteousness and not our own that we must wear. And that does take, as it was said, a self-examination. Are we really trying to enter in through the straight gate, or are we trying to make for ourselves a way to make our own garments, put together our own clothing, one that may be very pleasing to the world, but is vile and offensive to the living God? One that may seem very popular in opinion, popular in action, popular in some kind of theosophical reasoning, and it grabs many attentions and may pull many aside to be shoring us up in our own way, but it's not Christ's righteousness nor His wisdom. So we are not going to be prepared, and in that way that we do that, we actually reject the invitation. We scorn and spurn so great a love that is being offered to us, and so great a salvation. And we look at it despisingly, as it does not measure up to what we believe is righteousness. Well, the Word of God is very clear. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. We do not have any. The wedding garment that we must wear, and we must wear it in humility, with thanksgiving, and also with joy, I believe, and with great praise. And that is the righteousness of Christ, that garment. That's why I say I can understand that this is a very, a serious time of searching, of covering, like dear brother said, to look in the mirror and take a look and see where do we really stand and allow the Holy Spirit to search us through and through. For not all of us have fantastical or high gifts, should I say, as others may have. However, each one has what the Holy Spirit has deemed is good for us to have to work unto our salvation. And that is the goal, to be with our Lord Jesus. His righteousness must cover us, and our obedience to that love will enter, get us to enter in. So this is a very serious call, and it really is nothing to be played with, like the world is playing with it left and right as we see it. And so much is proclaimed to be the Lord's precepts, and they are the world's. And the love of the world, we know, is not the love of God. And it is very vile and shallow and has no foundation. So praise God for his word. And it is very serious that we make sure that we do not spurn that invitation in any area. Wear the righteousness of Christ in all that we do. That by God's grace.
I have a question that I was going to hold off until next week, but being that the children's study kind of carried over to the youth study, I'm having a hard time not being able to ask because I'm not understanding something. So my question was, it says that the demons believe and tremble, and it also says that if we love the Lord, we'll keep his commandments. And if we believe, it'll show in our actions. So I want to know, what is the difference between the beliefs if even Satan believes and he's not obedient versus if we love God and we'll believe and show obedience?
Is there any brothers here that can be able to share what Christina had asked? It was supposed to be a question to be answered for next week, but she would like anyone of the Dear Remnant family. She says that what is the difference between the belief of Satan and the belief of the children of God? The Bible said that demons believe and tremble. The devil believe and tremble. But I thought, if we truly believe it, shows in our actions. We know that obedience, the Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. But the Father sending his Son was the perfect example of obedience, because the love to the Father is what allowed the Savior to give us an example here. The scripture said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And it tells you that Jesus loved his Father and he kept his commandment. And for the devil, he also was supposed to keep the commandment, but he has rejected God. And by rejecting God, rejecting his character, rejecting his love, he became disobedient to the law. And for the children of God will be the same thing. The Lord invites us to come, and he loves all of us. And if we love him, we will also strive to be able to keep his commandment. But we know that the flesh is not subject to the law, and it will never be. In order for us to be able to be obedient, we have to be able to do it to the merit of Christ's righteousness. But we must open a way for him to be able to allow us to become obedient to the law. Is there anybody else that would like to share? And we will bring next Sabbath, because it's a review for the question that you asked, we will take it from the law to the testimony. Who would like to share their ones?
The devils believe and tremble. They know. We believe because we have faith. We don't know. We haven't seen what the devil saw. I guess if we did, we'd tremble too. He knows what heaven is like. He knows what God is like, all that we have to take by faith. That's part of the difference.
And also,
that makes sense.
And also, we must realize the devil had his opportunity to be straight, to be good, to honor God. He chose to do the opposite because he was thinking of himself. Self is demonstrated in the action of Satan, or how destructive to have self above the law, self above the Lord, self above whatever belief in the Lord that we carry, or that we gain, or that we have. Self is the destructive element, and self destroyed Satan because he tried to put himself above God. He knows. He knew. That's why he is the only one that is sentenced to be demolished, to be eliminated. And this is something that we know, and we can read it throughout the 66 books of Satan. Destiny, which we can copy and try to check our destiny in relation with the Lord.
Amen. I also would like to humbly add to what the brothers and sisters were saying. When it comes to belief too, dear sister, it is really couched before the Lord as an obedience, because I can believe in a simple way. I can believe that a light is red, and I can believe I should not go through it. I can believe it. No, I shouldn't, but I don't have to do it. If I go through it, I will pay that consequence. And I know that that is a simple example, but I want to try to keep it that way for explanation's sake. There is another added thing to that too that came to my mind concerning the devils believe and they tremble. The fallen angels and the great adversary, as Brother Dick was saying, they were in a place of high privilege, and with the adversary himself being right there on the other side of the throne of God and Christ on the other one. He came from a very high position, exalted above all the holy angels, and then made a base as he is right now. He believes very much so that God is. And by God's amazing grace, we are told from the word in Romans that we too can see through all of nature, though we have not seen the living God, neither have any of us in here, to my knowledge, seen the Lord Jesus. But we can see through the nature that God has created that God is. For all of the designs that are around us throughout nature, and all that design that are around us through the things that God in wisdom gave man in wisdom to create from nature, different materials, we have houses, we have clothes, we have cars. It is all designed, so we know in our hearts God is. So that is a belief. And there is that godly trembling that was brought to my mind, and the quick example that was brought to me was of Moses as he went up the mount to be with the Lord for a time, and he trembled. He did not tremble in the fear of destruction because of any wickedness that he had done. I believe that he trembled because of the glory and the majesty of God in comparison to his own finite being. Responding to such glory, it had to tremble. There is no way it could not have. And we know the instances of other of God's servants who even fell faint as dead men when just visited by holy angels of God. So the difference in the trembling that the great adversary and the fallen angels have, I am very impressed to believe it is a trembling of realizing the exceeding great destruction that is coming to them, and they know it. It is not a trembling of knowing that, okay, yes, this is my holy God, and I tremble in the presence of such great majesty, yet I know he loves me. Not that kind of trembling. It is a trembling of knowing the sure destruction that is coming and how great that destruction is. Oh yes, they tremble. Even at the prayer of a little one going up innocently before God, they tremble. Oh, we praise God for all of that. Amen. Reverence in his presence. Amen. So that is the difference from my understanding by God's grace and from what the dear brothers and sisters were saying before, belief and
yes,
trembling.
Brother, I agree.
Amen.
Every inch of the way. But let's take, I wouldn't call it an analogy. This is something that took place. And we need to look into it very deeply. When Adam and Eve sinned, and they found themselves without the understanding before they sinned that they were naked, and they gathered leaves to cover themselves, and the Lord removed those leaves and gave them a garment. If the leaves were sufficient, he wouldn't have given them another garment. So, I would say, let not we dress ourselves in leaves and try to see the righteous garment of the Lord. Because with such a garment, we are protected. We belong. We are being claimed. We are being given the chance after the sin to return to the Lord. And he helped us by putting us and putting on a new garment. Those little, small, little pebbles of righteousness we need to get deep into. And I need to have that. We might never know the divinity of Christ, but when we read his words in the humanity, and that's the way we get to learn and to know and to follow Christ, his word is the essence and the necessity towards our salvation. We must not lose his word.
Does anybody else would like to share? I'm going to try to read through what is in the chat room. Just give me a few chances. Let me go back. Okay. Okay. Our dear Brother Bob said, belief without change into harmony with it leads to denial of that belief. It is okay, dear sister. It was an important question. Okay, here goes. Just a minute. I just want to make sure that I don't miss anything. No, dear sister, if all questions are welcome. It's very important, not only for you asking, but also it helps us to search ourselves as well. But I have one more. It says, so if someone does not believe, does that make them worse than the devil, being that the devil believes? Okay, it's another one. Amen. That's why it's so important not to refuse the invitation of such immense grace. Okay, I don't see anything else. Oh, okay, here is another one. M-A-J, Michelle, Adele, and Justin, sorry. Thank you, Gina. The devil and evil angels believe and tremble. May take it, it's a tyrant. They believe the commandments, but they do not. They tremble because they know the will, but judged by those commands. Is there any other? Okay, there's nobody. Nobody else. Okay. I hope and pray, Sister Christina, that with all of the input that has been given, you may be able to come to a little bit of understanding what your question was. Otherwise, just a minute, dear Sister Gina.
Hi, this is Sister Gina. Just want to say thank you for the devil, you said the devil
the children of God. Mom, we can hear you if you're talking.
Okay, let me see if I can take it closer. The reason why I believe that is different is because the children of God exercise other attributes besides being a believer. You understand? They exercise faith, love to God, reverence. The devil doesn't have nothing like that, but he knows who God is. And that is how I know. That's the difference that I find in both statements. I hope we will be able to help you a little.
Rose.
Yeah, that was Sister Gina. Brother Dick?
The devils believe and tremble. Their destiny is fixed. We have a chance to choose one side or the other. And if we neglect so great salvation, we get to share with the devil his reward. If we accept God's salvation, he has a retirement plan that is out of this world.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Dick. And also, Satan is already in the state he fell. Because before, when he was obedient, when he was Lucifer, but by rejecting the truth, he did not have faith in the truth. Therefore, he falls and remains with the same nature. The children of God, by faith in Christ's merit, they are able to have the hope. But he already had rejected and fell from grace.
I just wanted to share something that was just impressed upon my heart. It all comes back down to choice. Choose this day whom you will serve. And the very action, because many people ask, right? And they dispute choice, that very thing of individuals having that. But the very act of love give us choice to choose. It's very contrary to what Satan's accusation against the law of God is and against God himself. And it's amazing, that very, very gift of choice is what I will call it, because it just disprove or disband what the enemy says and accuses the Lord of. Choice, if we have it, we can choose. Every one of the people after Adam that we saw in the Bible, Cain and Abel, well, Lucifer, Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, Noah and the descendants, Enoch, Abraham, they all, just as we all have choice. And that is, sometimes people say, like, why have choice? Because you could do this and this. Why there's so many destruction? But God is not a God of coercion. And that in itself is so beautiful. That in itself dispels everything that the devil stands for. And through our actions, it says, if there's no, you can see through each person's actions, because you could say with your mouth that you believe, just like the enemy said when he so-called repented, but by his actions, he didn't show that he really believed or that he really repented. Faith without work, faith without action is dead. And that is what is so different between those two tremblings. It's the choice you make and how you go about doing that. And I pray by God's grace that the Lord continue to give us all that spirit, because we can do nothing of ourselves. We could have the will to be able to want to do it. But I pray that he continue to give us that choice to choose aright. Because if we don't, then we all share that same faith, as Brother Dick so pointed out, as everyone here has so pointed out today, that we will have the same faith as Lucifer. And that trembling is a scary trembling, because we know there's no more. It will be eradicated. It is finished. It is total. And that's such a beautiful thing to know. And thank God for his loving mercies for giving us the ability to choose, and to choose freely.
We have a choice.
He
chose. He was not deceived. He sinned in the very presence of God. Mankind has been deceived. That's why God extends the opportunity of salvation to us and not to Satan. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm prolonging this. So is it kind of like when a child goes out from their parents' home and hangs out with their friends, and then they make a wrong choice and doing something that they shouldn't do, and then the parents find out, and then the kid is afraid or just trembles, and I quote, to go back home because they know they're going to be in trouble. Is it kind of like that?
Not for the devil. It's not like that. For us, the trembling is a good trembling if we are disobedient to our parents and we know we have to face them, because we know we did wrong. And by God's grace, the Lord allows us to respond to that in that way, so that we also can see we have done it and we know we have to answer for what we're doing. That's healthy. Because of the fact that the reason why I say that's healthy from my own experience, in my regular life and service life and things like that, it's healthy to have that kind of, you know, trembling when answering to parents or answering to superiors when doing something wrong. We know we did it. We have to give an answer. And that healthy trembling response may be what deters us after we have to deal with the circumstances. It may also help us to not go down that road again and to not either hang with those bad influential friends again or make the poor choices that we did again. I tend to believe it's a help. I don't believe that it's a hindrance to have that kind of trembling to our parents when we've done, you know, stepped out done wrong, and or to our supervisors when we didn't hand in things on time and we knew about it and we just didn't want to do it. We're kind of trembling on the inside because we know it could be our jobs or it could be a demotion or other things like that that could have an effect on others around us. So, and with the youth, it is the same way too. May not be able to hang around with their friends for quite some time or at all, or they may be embarrassed by the repercussions that happen, all these different things. I tend to believe they're healthy. I wish they didn't have to be, but they are, not that they don't have to be, but that we didn't send it. But they're healthy for us in this age. It hopefully will help deter us going down that road again, my God. That's not a bad or a bad trick, I don't think. But if someone else could help, that would be fine. Maybe I'm not covering it right.
No, I think you did. I think as far as healthy tremble, it's for us to be able to correct our actions versus Satan is already where he's at in rebellion.
And Sister Christina, it shows you even from the very beginning, from when he sinned, has he changed even up to today? No, he's done it and he's keep on doing it. The fight hasn't yet stopped. As opposed to like what we learned in the prodigal son, the son sinned. He made a mistake. He realized his mistake and he went back not to be considered a son, but to be considered like a servant because he didn't think he was deserving of that father's forgiveness. Satan doesn't possess that. And until this very day that we have life to see it, he's still fighting against the word of God. He's still deceiving. That shows us in a light that there is no change in that character. There is no wanting to change. And that's the difference. It's not like a child who sins because they're in iniquity or because they didn't know any better or because they're testing the water or their influence and they learn a lesson and submit. Satan doesn't want to submit to the will of God. Satan wants to be God. He wants to overthrow the kingdom. There is no change in that heart.
I also think, well, sometimes no one gives us the right to be thinking when we have the word to prove the truth of Christ. When he said on the cross, the last statement was, "It is finished." That's like saying, "My children, I paid the price for you. And you will have that eternally. There is nothing that comes after it is finished. It is finished. It is over. It's taken care of it. Have taken care of the whole situation. And you can be saved. This is very, very important. How can we be saved with the faith that he has placed in us? What is that faith? His word. The confirmation of his word. And that's what we all must hold on to. That's what all of us have. Satan does not have that. When he had the confrontation, when he gave all his different insinuation to Christ, the three times that he insinuated, all three times Christ placed him where he's supposed to be, on the outside. And we have to keep him on the outside. How can we keep him on the outside? By his word. Keeping his word. Have the faith in his word. Believing in his word. And understand when he said, it is finished. Like telling us, you have nothing more to worry about. Just be faithful. Be right. Walk the straight path that is given to you. You won't be walking it alone. I'll be with you. We have to go deeper into his word to receive that assurance when he said, it's finished. It's finished for Satan, not for us. It's finished for Satan. I believe.
Thank you so much, dear brethren, for all your input. And all that you have been sharing, I believe, dear sister would like to share, a little comment as well. And after that, we are going to end right here and we have homework. But I would like to leave a paragraph, and this paragraph is taken from Reflecting Christ. And it says, when we speak of faith, there is a distinction that should be borne in mind. There is a kind of belief that is wholly distant from faith. The existence and power of God, the truth of the word, are facts that even Satan and his hosts cannot at heart deny. The Bible says that the devil also believe and tremble, according to James 2:19. But this is not faith. Where there is not only a belief in God's word, but a submission of the will to him, where the heart is yielded to him, the affections fixed upon him, there is faith. Faith that works by love and purifies the soul. And I'm going to pass it with our dear sister. That one was taken from page 123, paragraph 2. Hold on, let me bring it closer, Gina, because I don't think they can.
It's something that if you don't know the word of God and you don't know the Bible or the word of God, then you will never be able to exercise the choice that Satan did. Satan know God and he just didn't love him enough or have the faith to be able to go further. We here to learn the word of God to be able to exercise the choice that God has given us. Sometimes in my profession, when I see people that was one walking towards the path of Christianity, and then when I see them again, they believe in Eastern mysticism and, you know, that the charmer and all these things, and then they tell me that they don't believe in Jesus. And I said, right now, you are worse than Satan, because Satan believed that there is a God, that he is God. So in little notes is that for us to be able not to get to that point, please let us be able to dive into the word of God, be able to be, you know, to understand how he is and who he is. And have the love absolutely to him. This is just something.
Amen.
That was Sister Gina.
Yes.
And dear ones, as the scripture give us the ammunition, Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And how love I thy law, according to Psalms 119:97. It is my meditation all day, and the righteousness of the law is fulfilling us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, according to Romans 8:1. We are going to finish here, and we'll pick it up. Did we get to read the household? Yes, we did. We are going to pick it up where it says, in both parables, the feast is provided with guests. That's not it? Okay. Can you just tell me where we left off? Because I don't believe we read this particular paragraph. I think someone did the householder.
I believe we left off at the householder.
Okay, so we're going to pick it up where it says, in both parables, the feast is provided with a guest.
No. So, Rose, we didn't read the householder.
Oh, I thought my father did. Okay, we're going to pick it up where it says the householder. Thank you so much, dear ones. We were so into the discussion, I kind of lost my place. We're going to take a few minutes, dear ones, before we continue with the next service.
If we could have closing prayer as well for this section.
If we all can bow our heads and our knees, dear ones. Righteous and Heavenly Father, as we come before thee, Lord, to give you thanks and praises, thank you for carrying us thus far. Thank you for all the participation of all our brethren. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to have a little moment to discuss anything that we have in our hearts to understand. But we pray, dear Lord, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace at your feet, that you may be able to speak to our hearts, dear Lord. Be with each and every one of us, especially during this time, Father. Help us that we may look into the looking glass, which is the law of God. Help us to examine ourselves, Father. May you take the moment with each one of us and help us to be able to rise and climb higher, Father Jesus, not only for the sake of knowing who you are, but that we may represent you more fully and more perfect, Father. For only through your merits can we be able to give the light that we should give for such a time as this. Bless each and every one of us here, and may you continue until the next service, Father Jesus. We ask forgiveness for any sin that we have committed, Father Jesus, in this tabernacle, known and unknown, conscious of unconscious, holding on to the promise of holding the merit of Christ to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you, Lord. This is my prayer in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen.
We will be back at 3:05 to begin the next section of our study, which is the sermon.
I'd like to share a song. Last night in our service, Brother James sang a scripture song that had all the 66 books of the Bible. And then today in our discussion, our Willow mentioned the 66 books of the Bible again, briefly. So I'd like to sing this song. I haven't sung it in a while, so please bear with me. If you should remember the books of the Bible,
put them in order the way they should go. Come sing them with me, as long as you're able, the old 66 books you soon get to know. The old 66 books you soon get to know. Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus and Number, Deuteronomy and Joshua, Judges and Ruth, 2 Samuel, 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, he wrote them all. Ezra, Nehemiah, he wrote them all. Esther and Job, Psalms and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. He wrote them all. Lamentations, Ezekiel. He wrote them all. Daniel and Hosea, Joel and Amos, Obadiah and Jonah, Micah and Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah and Malachi. He wrote them all. Zechariah and Malachi. He wrote them all. To the New Testament, all known to the prophets, Matthew and Mark, Luke and John, Acts of the Apostles, Romans to Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. He wrote them all. Philippians, Colossians. He wrote them all. 2 Thessalonians, 2 Timothys, Titus and Philemon, Hebrews and James, 2 Peters, 3 Johns, 3 Johns, Jude, Revelations, 3 Johns, Jude, Revelation. It lands us in heaven. 3 Johns, Jude, Revelation. It lands us in heaven. Amen.